Good morning, fellas. What an honor to be back here at Friday Morning Men's Fellowship and see people face to face. Christopher White, good morning. Just a pleasure to come back and really talk and share a little bit about my story and why Friday Morning Men's Fellowship means so much and why y'all should consider the day of golf and giving this year. But more than anything, I feel like I've got a faith story to share a little bit. And a lot of you guys know, morning, Brian. A lot of you guys know the story. So I'm not going to get into too much detail, but, it's been, like Mark said, 16 years since I started coming here. So a lot of life has happened over those 16 years. So why Friday Morning Men's Fellowship? Why is it important that we have this in our lives? So in 2005, I was in a pretty broken place. I just come out of a divorce. I had two little girls, 7 and 5, Madeline and Mary Frances. I was tired. I'd been working in the hospitality business my whole career and had just gotten caught up in that lifestyle, which is anybody that's in that industry know that you can get caught up in some stuff you shouldn't be caught up in. I walked into Dave Dory's office, and Dave is here this morning, at one of the most important men in my life. And I was sitting down with Dave, and he looked at me, and basically broke down. He said, "Why don't you join me at Friday Morning Men's Fellowship?" And that was back in the fall of 2005. And I was raised in the church. I grew up in Tucker, Tucker Methodist. In my mind, I was a Christian. I believed, Jesus Christ, but I wasn't following at all. I said, sure, I'd love to go. And so I walked in here on Friday morning, that first Friday morning, with Dave's invite. And I just want people to understand the power and the value of being bold enough to reach out and invite a man to join you at this fellowship. Without Dave, I wouldn't be here right now. And that's so important. But I went in there, and I can honestly say that Friday Morning Men's Fellowship, more than anything in my life on my spiritual walk, changed the trajectory of my life in significant and profound ways that I could have never expected. I came in there, and it's interesting how God works, right? I think he knew at that time, I was 39, I believe, and he'd been after me for a long time, and I'd been stiff-arming him and, back and forth a little bit, and culturally saying the right things and doing the right stuff, working my butt off to try to succeed in this grind of a town, and just wearing down. And he sat me down at a table with Dave Dorries, with Bob Day, with Charlie Renfro, with Steve Franklin. I know that all of y'all don't know these men, but a lot of you do. And those guys are titans of faith in this town. I think God was saying, I'm going to put you right here because this is exactly what you need. You need them speaking into your life. So I had the blessing and the good fortune to sit down with these men for really just sit and listen for the next 3 or 4 years, and just godly men. We got all ages in this group, but if you're in that younger men category and got a new family and all that, I really would hope that you are listening right now, because my story speaks mostly to you. All these older guys like me, and we know what I'm about to say. But I want y'all to hear, the younger guys, to hear what I really have to say this morning. Sat me down with godly men that I hadn't been around, and it was just eye-opening to me that you could be the type of men these are, be the spiritual leader in their family, in their home, and their workplace, and live life the way that Jesus Christ designed you to live it. And that was powerful for me. And I think God in his grace knew those are the exact guys I needed in my life. And they're still in my life. Steve, I had lunch with Bob yesterday. So anyway, in 2006, after sitting around listening to this, to the table, and skipped over, obviously the most important thing as well, was Chris White, who is our honorary chairman this year, right, Mark? And I know he's online, and it's impossible for me to overstate the significance that Chris and Suzanne made in the life of my family. They poured into us right away. And his message and his talks really just got to me. I mean, he's a dear friend. I love and adore him. And I miss Chris. And obviously, Suzanne and Rachel developed a relationship that was very significant as well. And she was just a sweetheart. And what they did to get this thing going, as we all know, is really incredible. So with Chris White and Suzanne and all the men in that room and my table in 2006, I made the decision to really follow Jesus Christ, not just say I'm following him or say, yeah, I'm a Christian, and turn around and go do all the stuff that I'd been doing at high school and LSU and, you know, all the nonsense that social people like myself get into and a lot of us get into, right? So that decision happened in 2006. At that point, I said, look, let's turn away from some of that stuff and let's follow, not just say we're believers or that I'm a believer. So if you fast forward, and there's so much of this story, any guys want to talk to me about more of it, I'm happy to sit down and give you some of the gory details and some of the highs and the lows. I don't have time this morning. But you fast forward, so we got 2006 to 2021. In 2009, I started leading a table, so I broke off, and Mark mentioned it. And since 2009, I have been at times doing a better job leading that table and sometimes not doing a great job. Just facilitating, and as life goes, ups and downs, you know, needing people pouring into me and doing as best as I can to pour into other people. And so that's been going on since 2009. We got a great healthy table, which is interesting how the pandemic has opened up that virtual opportunity, which is really an incredible. I got two guys or three people on there. They're in different states. Pretty incredible group. And it's an honor to be able to lead those guys or facilitate. My wife told me the other night, she goes, I hope you're not leading them. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she said, well, you hadn't been at the top of your game for a little bit. So I appreciate her reality check. Let's put it that way. So fast forward now, Madeline, my oldest daughter, I'm divorced and remarried in 2006. Rachel came into my life, and well, she came in 2005. So, you know, she came into my life in 2005. 2006, we get married. I turn my life over to Jesus Christ. 2006, and so I am, like I said, divorced and remarried. So I had the two girls, Madeline and Mary. Well, Maddie now is 24, and Madeline has a little baby boy, and so I'm a granddad. And he's Brody's two. Mary Frances is a senior at Auburn, which is a little tough for me to swallow initially, but it's been a great school for her. And then I've got Tori Grace and Luke. So I've got an 11-year-old, and I got an 8-year-old son. So for you guys that are quick with math out there, Luke is an uncle at 8 years old, and I'm a granddad. So a lot of life has happened over the last 15 years. Challenges. I opened up in that same year in 2006. I got married, I opened the business, turned my life over to Christ, and started Peachtree Tents and Events, which is an equipment rental business. Hopefully most of you guys have heard of it. We recapitalized in 2016. That's a whole other story that I don't really want to get into right now. But it's all been going pretty well until, what, 2020 pandemic hit, and it just yanked the rug out from a lot of people. But, you know, I'm in the gathering special event business. Like, you went from 300 employees to 100 overnight. I mean, revenue, you know, it was terrible. And, most of my eggs are in that basket. And that caused, you know, a lot of struggle. The last 2 years have been kind of rough. And then Rachel and I recently launched a new business that we're working on together, which has been really an incredible experience. It's just been an incredible experience to work with my wife, but also has opened up some communication gaps that we had. Now it's not just, you know, taking care of kids and running around crazy. It really has opened up some opportunities for us to work on being a better husband and wife and communicate better, and it's been going great. So I say all that so that y'all can really appreciate the value of what started when I came in here in 2005. Without that invitation and without what this group had done for me or has done for me and the ripple effect within my network. All of y'all don't underestimate what goes out from you that you don't even know. And that's the community that we get in this group, the transparency that is generated. And men, as y'all all know, they don't want to, we're not all about telling all our deep, darkest stuff. You know, in our culture, it's a sign of weakness. And more than ever, I think everybody in this room and everybody that's watching online would recognize that this is our time as believers and followers of Jesus Christ. We need to raise up and we need to be bold in our faith. And you're going to get that encouragement by being part of a group, a community. And Friday Morning Men's Fellowship is what did it for me. And that's why we do this. Okay? So there's a couple other things I want to... I'm doing all right on time there. Yeah, okay. There's just a few things that I really want to... Some takeaways that I want for y'all this morning to really think about. Like I said, this is not a lot of time for me to share what I'd like to share. But the Holy Spirit recently has been really working on me. I get that call. Sorry. The Holy Spirit's really been, and as believers, we have this incredible power of the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us in our walk. Now, if you're still seeking and you're not quite sure what that means and you're still trying to figure all that stuff out, that's great. So are a lot of people. And I'm still figuring out how to maximize that power that's available. But I've gone through now, y'all heard, 16 years here, 9 years leading, spiritual leader in the family, you know, all that stuff. Well, you know, have I been doing it as well as I should have been? No, I haven't, right? I what happens in this town? This is a grind, and we all know it in Atlanta. We're probably one of the most challenging business, keeping up environments, and young guys that are out there, all of us that are grinding, you know, really think about what that means to be the spiritual leader in your home and in your marriage. Where are you prioritizing your time? Is it in providing, which is a good thing, but is that where your priority is? Like, oh, I'm paying for everything. I've got to do this. I've got to join this board and be a part of this. And are you saying yes to good stuff that's taken away from what matters most, which would be the great stuff that gives you that abundant life that we're promised? And I would encourage you to really look at the mission of Friday Morning Men's Fellowship. Be the spiritual leader. What does that really mean? And I lost sight of that. And the Holy Spirit, thankfully, is now bringing stuff up, saying, hey, you're a spiritual leader. Yeah, you're providing, but are you really prioritizing Rachel and your kids the way that I want you to do that? And if I was going to be honest, the answer is no. I'm so worried about trying to come back from the pandemic and, you know, all the bad stuff that's happened. And, you know, all of a sudden, I'm distracted and I'm busy. Don't do that, fellas, okay? Please, look at your marriage and make sure that you are doing what God wants you to do, not what you think needs to be done. And so I really want to make sure I say that and get that point across. Spiritual leader of the family means you are engaged and you are interested in your wife and your kids, and you are there. You are present, not worrying about where the next deal's coming from. And we all know what Buckhead can be like. So I would encourage everybody, but especially you young guys that are married and trying to figure out and keep up with everybody that's cranking it out in this town, like, don't lose sight of that role as a spiritual leader. Don't give up great for good. You can be involved in great, good stuff that's doing a lot of work and it's helping. But are you leaving abundant on the table? And I would challenge you to really think about that. The second thing that I want, the Holy Spirit's really pressing on me personally, is obedience. It sounds like a scary word, obedience, right? Like, it's got a negative connotation, unfortunately, in our culture. But obedience, like, obedience to God, well, heck yeah, you need to be obedient to God. He's in charge. He gave you everything you have, and He can take it all away. So if you're not going His way, there will be consequences. I mean, I think we're seeing that in our country, in our communities, in our neighborhoods, all those things. Don't let that happen to you. As a believer, the Holy Spirit indwells in you. The Spirit of God, same Spirit that was in Jesus that raised Him from the dead, that is inside of you. Are you using, you maximizing that value in obedience? So for me, I would challenge all of us, think about that one or two things that you wake up with every day and it presses on your brain. If there's something there that is keeping distance between you and Jesus, then you need to correct it. You need to root it out and you need to pull it out and don't toy with it. Okay? Listen to where the Holy Spirit's leading you. God can't have a relationship with you the way He wants to if there's something blocking that relationship. I've had a breakthrough myself recently, and I get it now better than I ever have before. And I don't want to miss this opportunity to tell you that. Guys, what is pressing on you all the time? There's something. Root it out and deal with it, and then move on. Where is the Holy Spirit leading you, believers? As I wrap up here a little bit, this world that we're living in right now is not one of us that thinks that this thing's going the right direction, I'm sure, okay? What are we going to do about it? The world requires love, the type of love that Jesus has shown all of us, a grace-filled love, a communication. It requires boldness. Like, it ain't time to kind of talk about, people need to know what you believe. They need to know that you follow Jesus Christ. And you need to live like it because they're watching. And if we don't do what we're supposed to do, who's going to do it? Like, this is why this matters, okay? And there are, and it's such an easy invitation. Dave Dory's, all you had to do is say, hey, join me at a restaurant and have coffee and donuts. Like, this is not a threatening environment to bring people into. Get them on, get people that need to know this, invite them, be bold with your faith. And finally, I say generosity, right? We need to live a generous life, sacrificial. Like, the kingdom needs our resources. Plenty of men in here that have plenty of resources. The pandemic was terrible for some of us. It was terrible for all of us in all kinds of ways. Financially, it was a blow for some, and really, for others, it was just fine. Okay? Those of you that God is blessing, you need to dig in and really think about, where am I giving my money? So generosity, and generosity in time and service. Love, boldness, generosity. So I would encourage you, as I wrap up here, think about why this is important. What I just told you in a little bit of time, which is a two-hour story, changed my life. This group changed the trajectory of my life. Without this group, I don't have Luke, my 8-year-old son. I don't have Rachel, my wife, because she would have never put up with me before I was joined this. And I knew I wanted to keep her. So I did whatever I had to do to make sure I was able to hold on to Rachel. And she's been, you know, an angel, really, in my life. So think about your families, grandkids, kids. Good Lord. If I would have had this to come to when I was 25, who knows what would be different? I'm 56, and I'm not regretful. My story is my story. But I think back of time that I've lost in silliness and not following what is offered. And I would hate to see anybody continue to waste that time when it's so easy to do this, really. He's just there waiting. Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you. Don't miss. Go and look at that verse. Are you seeking first his kingdom when you get up in the morning? Are you seeking first his kingdom when you make decisions in the office? Are you seeking first his kingdom in interactions with your children and your grandkids and your wife and your spouse and your girlfriend and your workplace? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That's pretty clear, and it's absolutely my verse. So now to the admin part, I guess, of this, right, Mark? I'm here to encourage y'all to give to the Day of Golf. You heard why it's important to me and important to my family. And so I think the reasons are clear. The ripple effect that we make on our community is why we do this. I served as a Day of Golf chairman for probably 5-6 years. It's super cool to be a part of this, and I'm honored that Mark thought to reach out to me. It was good timing. It's funny how God works like that. So a couple of things that just I want to go through with you guys, table leaders, and all of us that are watching. Just a couple notes about LMI and Friday Morning Men's Fellowship. Stronger than ever. Even though the pandemic rocked us for a little while, our virtual opportunity has really expanded what we can do in our world. More men are joining tables. There are 4 new locations that are launched within the next 18 months. Mark touched on one in Athens. Our good friend John Keeble is going to be leading and spearheading that. So, you know, we want this to grow. Why would we keep it under a nightshade or whatever? Like, pull it off and let's let it grow in communities that need it. Can't do that without resources, okay? All right, 2 things you need to know. Most of you received a letter from Friday Morning Men's Fellowship with a record of what you contributed last year the last 2 years. Know that if everybody just does what they did last year, we'll hit our goal. So that's pretty simple. We know that not everybody can do what they did last year. However, there's some that can do more. So 200,000 is the goal. We hit it last year, and we're going to hit it again, okay? It's important that y'all think about that generosity component and the difference that we're making in our community through this fellowship. We also encourage our table leaders to compete in the Chris White Challenge. Our founder, and who is the honorary chairperson today, and really probably the biggest guy that made the impact in my life that is out there, is Chris White. Love that man, and I'd love for us to honor him specifically this year, right? For a lot of reasons. But the Chris White Table Challenge, your table leaders are challenged to get a certain percentage, and the highest percentage of to quota will win this awesome kick-ass trophy right here that everybody wants to have. And what else? I think, Mark, have I got it all? Guys, please take away the things that dig deep in what you need to root out and be obedient to God's leading on that, because you're leaving a lot on the table. Dig deep on being the spiritual leader in your family in this environment. They need us. They need us strong. They need us confident. They need our self-esteem. And where do you get that? You get it from Jesus Christ, and that's where the confidence is. So, great seeing everybody this morning, guys online. And I'm going to pray for y'all right now. Heavenly Father, man, what a privilege to come up here and have you speak through me to these men. And we're just so thankful, really, for the 30-plus years of leadership ministries and Friday Morning Men Fellowship and the influence. We'll never know the significance of that influence and the ripple effect and what it's made in this community until one beautiful day when we're all together with you. Then we'll know, right? So I pray that these men will be, that they'll be bold, that they'll be an example of the love that you showed us in their walk and in their sphere of influence. And I pray that they'll be generous as they think about giving to this great, great, tremendous organization. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you, and we're just so thankful for Jesus and his sacrifice, and help us to be the men that you designed us to be. Amen.